Vladimir Putin meets Western leaders at the G20 summit in China at a critical juncture in the conflicts in Ukraine and Syria. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFERL, and joining me in the studio is senior RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, so it's deja vu all over again. 1 year ago at the UN General Assembly, all eyes were on Vladimir Putin as he prepared to meet Western leaders to talk Ukraine and Syria. And over the past 2 days at the G20 summit in China, all eyes were on Vladimir Putin as he prepared to meet Western leaders to talk Ukraine and Syria. It seems the more things change, the more they stay the same. Putin met U.S. President Barack Obama today as talks between Russia and the United States aimed at agreeing on a common approach to Syria stalled. And on Sunday, Putin met separately with German Chancellor Angela Merkel, French President Francois Hollande, and British Prime Minister Theresa May. Those discussions came as the EU prepares to decide next week whether or not to extend sanctions against Russia. They also come as a Russian troop buildup on the Ukrainian border has sparked fears of fresh fighting. Significantly, Putin wanted to meet Merkel and Hollande together to discuss Ukraine. Such a meeting would have been noteworthy due to the absence of Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko, but Merkel and Hollande apparently insisted on separate meetings. Meanwhile, Hollande, Merkel, and Obama met together without Putin to discuss Ukraine. Steve, what was Putin's game plan going into the G20, and do you see it working?
Well, I think on Ukraine, as you're mentioning, I think his game plan was to kind of have a discussion without Ukraine, without Poroshenko there, and to, by doing that, sort of portray Ukraine and the government in Kiev as the one who has to start fulfill the Minsk agreements. He's always tried to, even though Russia signed the Minsk agreements, he's always tried to make it out as if Russia is a mediator and not a party to the conflict. But I think this strategy obviously did not work in terms of the G20. It looks like the Western leaders simply decided that, you know, that wasn't something they wanted to do. It wouldn't look very good. Why go ahead and do that? So as you say, I mean, not only did Hollande and Merkel meet separately with Putin, but also they met together with Obama. So I think, you know, at least that sends the signal that, okay, we're listening to Putin on Ukraine, we're talking to him, but this is not the sort of formal negotiations, and we're not accepting the premise that, look, it's Ukraine that has to get in shape here. So I think on that score, it was not a kind of a victory for Putin, certainly.
And significantly, they've announced that there will be a so-called Normandy format meeting in the coming weeks with Merkel, Hollande, Putin, and Poroshenko, which is what Putin expressly did not want after the ginned-up controversy in the Crimea. So I think on the optics, and here all we have to go on right now is optics.
Right.
There's very little information that's come out about what's been said in those meetings. But on the if you just look straight at the optics, Putin appears to be a clear loser here. Moreover, both Poland and Britain have announced that they both favor extending sanctions when the EU makes that decision next month. Now, no surprise there. We expect Poland and Britain to have that. Although there might have been some doubt in post-Brexit Britain where they would have been on that. But Britain's not wavering there at all. And that, again, as the EU prepares to meet next month to discuss sanctions. So a big loss on Ukraine is what it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and the idea that, that sanctions would probably continue, again, it's sort of signal from the West that, look, you know, we're not accepting this, the idea that it's just up to Ukraine. You know, still, you need to fulfill your portion of the Minsk agreements, and that's not happening. So
now in Syria, it's a different matter, of course. Now, the Obama and Putin met shortly after U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov failed to reach an accord on a common approach to Syria, and Obama and Putin met. We still don't have any information about how that went. It was described as businesslike by the White House.
Right, and I think there was an agreement too that I guess Kerry and Lavrov will meet again shortly in the coming days. So, and the statement that Russia and the U.S. are still looking for solutions and still going to try to come to an agreement. So, but I think you know, as you say, that I guess the optics on this are quite different. I mean, from the Russian point of view, I think Putin is probably pretty happy with the outcome in terms of Syria. You have Russian media making a big deal out of some photos that show, you know, Putin chatting with Erdogan in a group photo with Obama seeming to look over in their direction, mm-hmm. you know, from the other side. You know, and then also Russian media making a big deal of what I guess Peskov said, that Obama asked for a meeting with Putin. Putin right. agreed, you know, that sort of thing. So that's kind of the way they're playing it at home. But I think in a way you could argue, though, that that Obama has more to lose at this point in the discussion of Syria, because he needs to, you know, to make some progress with Russia and get Russia to do something to stop the bloodshed, to rein in Assad. And, you know, so far there's been little progress on that. So,
well, there's a sticking point that Russia wants intelligence sharing from the U.S., which in my opinion isn't going to happen.
Right.
And U.S. wants Russia to refrain from bombing the U.S.-backed rebels in Syria, which also I don't see that happening. I think it's kind of an impasse. But if you contrast the situation to last year at the General Assembly, when Putin really used the situation in Syria to break his international isolation. Remember, he got that meeting with Obama after being isolated for so long. This time, not such a victory.
No, I agree. I mean, it's a different. I mean, it's you're absolutely right to juxtapose the two. But and you know that was sort of a watershed moment, I think, for Putin, the UN General yeah. Assembly, and this, you know, does not look like that. I'm just saying, I think he can be satisfied with. When is Russia seems to be always happy with the status quo in Syria as long as they're not, you know, as long as Assad's not about to get beaten or something. So I think, you know, the pressure for Putin to come to an agreement with the U.S. right now is maybe not so high. But yes, I totally agree that, you know, it's not the kind of big moment for Putin, you know, big success that presumably saw in the UN meeting last year.
Yeah, no, but you're right to say that the status quo in Syria suits the Russians much more than it does the Americans. The Americans are desperate for something to change.
And especially if you have the status quo, or, you know, but together with that, the idea, the appearance that Russia is engaged in conversations in an attempt to end the war, which, you know,
right.
it can say it is.
Right. So, all right, well, we'll continue to keep an eye on the fallout from the G20 summit this week and see what comes out as we learn more about what exactly happened in those meetings. That's all we have time for today. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories making news in Russia. We'll do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me in the studio has been senior RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week. And now I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.